and I'm no Calvinist, but sometimes the grace of God is overwhelming. Amen. And Mark chapter number 10. Thank you, Mrs. Huber. Thank you, choir. Appreciate Brother McDowell and all he does with our young people, choir, sports teams, and appreciate Mrs. Huber always playing so well on the piano there and just making it all nice. Mark chapter number 10. It's a story I refer to a lot. I talk about it a lot. We're going to actually preach out of it this morning about the rich young ruler. I refer to it a lot because it confirms the free will of man. Man has a choice, always has. That's how God made us. And I think, well, that's a blessing. Well, sometimes it's a curse too, literally. Because of man's free will, you can eat of anything, just don't eat of that. And, well, what did they choose? Hey, you can do whatever you want, just stay away from, and I don't know why, we're just drawn to what we're not supposed to do. Well, God does make us have a free will, and we're going to see that in this passage. I'm reminded that no one is forced to follow Christ. Even if you meet with him personally, you don't have to follow. Being a Christian is a choice. Following the Lord Jesus Christ, giving your life to him, he doesn't make anybody. But he allows us all to serve him. Isn't that something? It's a choice we must all make. Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life. That's why I refer to this passage often. Those three things are pretty important. In Mark chapter number 10 in verse 17 it says, "And when he was gone forth into the way," this is Jesus, "there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you, God, for... Lord, thank you for the cross that opened heaven gates to us all. God, I am thankful that I can say I can go in, but it's not of my own merit, it's by you. Thank you, God. Thank you for taking a sinner, saving them, and giving us eternal life. Lord, I pray as we go through this passage now, God, we would recognize our shortcomings, and God, if there's something hindering us from coming to you, that today we would lay that aside and follow you with all our heart. Lord, we need you here today. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter number 10 and verse 17, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running." That one running, this shows up, specific story shows up three times in the scriptures. It's not in John, but it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In Matthew, it calls him a young man. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 18, it tells us that he's a ruler. So at the top of maybe your Bible or something, there's a little breakdown of what you're about to read, or a paragraph marker, and it says, "The rich young ruler." We'll see later on about his riches. He's young, reference to Matthew. And Luke, he's told that he's a ruler. What he rules, we don't know. How young he is, I don't know, but he's at an age where he can make decisions. He has possessions. We don't know his name. We don't know his kingdom. We don't know his influence. He could be a centurion that has 100 soldiers under him. He could be a king of a state. We don't know. But we know that this one came. The Bible says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running." Hey, this young man does some things right. Let's not overlook that. He ran to Jesus. Maybe Jesus was on his way out of town thinking, "I'm not sure when I'll ever get a chance to see this guy again, there he is, and he went running after him. He came to Jesus the right way, running. With this young ruler, there was a sense of urgency. Again, Christ was leaving, not knowing when he would return. Hey, how serious are you about getting to the Lord? Well, if it works in my schedule, if I got time later at the end of the day, or, hey, wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if we opened up the church doors and people came running in? Now, I see siblings running in. Zeke is one. He, I don't know if it's an unwritten rule that he's got to beat his siblings in or what. It's his own race, and he wins every week. But I like it. Running into church. Grandma Hartman, you hold off, all right? You just take your time getting in. Where's Brother Bob? Bob, you take your time, all right? But in our heart, that ought to be. Hey, I got a question. I'm going to just run to Jesus. Because this is what it is. He has a question. Where do you run to? Social media? Do you run to a friend, a family member, a loved one? Oh, sure, there's wisdom God has bestowed upon man. But don't you think, wouldn't it be good for us to run to Christ? This young man started off really well. I got a question. I'm going to not just get to Jesus, I'm going to get to him running. There was urgency. Hey, there's urgency today. I preached about this a couple weeks ago. Hey, our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. There ought to be some urgency with us serving the Lord. Hey, if your mindset is, I'll get right later, you're in trouble. We ought to have this mentality. I got to get to Jesus today. Right now, 1 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the day of salvation. If you're putting off making a decision for Christ, you're a fool. Come running. The rich young ruler, number one, he came in the right way. Running. Number two, he came in the right position. Look at what it says. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him. Again, let us remember, we don't know much about this young man. We know he has wealth. We know he has influence. Again, we're told in Luke 18, he's a ruler. And at this time, it would not be abnormal for subject servants to kneel before rulers. And demonstration of worship or honor or any of those things. That was not abnormal at this time. This young man is maybe used to having people kneel before him, requesting of him, trying to earn favor and honor with him. I remember when we were in Trinidad, there was an issue with the tent and putting it up and town specs and all that kind of stuff. And Brother Barkowski and I, we go into the town. He says, you just let me do the talking. I said, no problem. I wasn't planning on talking. And there we were, and we walk in, and we're going past officials' offices, and we finally get to the one. He's talking with someone, and man, he could not talk high enough about the person that we were sitting across from. He was reminiscing of how they had such a good fellowship together and how appreciative he was and just how he's going on and on about this person. And then he had a request. You know what? That's kind of what the rich young ruler had. He came to the Lord. He came running. Hey, urgency. But then the right position. He kneeled. This is a ruler of this earthly kingdom, but yet in his eyes, somehow he acknowledged Christ was somebody special. And he kneeled. As a ruler, he understood the position of a servant. And he was showing honor to God, recognizing, what does he say? Good master, recognizing his authority and his position. And expecting God that he would answer him. He had a question before. Again, this young man, he's got some things going for him. Number one, he went running to Christ. Number two, he kneeled before Christ. Hey, can I ask you, when was the last time in your heart you kneeled before the Lord? When was the last time you showed honor to God? What do you do with your requests? Number three. Number one, he came in the right way. Number two, he came in the right position. Number three, he came to the right person. He had a question. Remember years ago we went to Indianapolis the first time. Well, it was my first time. First time taking teenagers there. And we got food and we were getting some chicken at this place and man, it was just taking a long time. Do you remember, brother? And we're at this place and surprisingly, it just didn't seem like anyone wanted to work. So we're waiting, and we ordered stuff, and we're just standing there waiting. And I walked up, and I said, I have a question about our order. And the lady behind the counter says, I'm sorry, I don't do chicken. You're in a chicken place. That's all you do here is chicken. I'm not asking you about baked goods, Lord. I'm not asking her to make pastries. I'm not asking her to solve the nation's debt. I just want fried chicken. Yeah, I am talking to the right person. Hey, this man had a question about eternal life. You know where he went? Well, he went to the scholars and to the university. No, he went to the right person. Hey, you got a question about eternal life? Don't go to those that don't believe. Oh, they'll have an opinion. It'll just be wrong. That's one thing you don't want to be wrong on. Eternal life. He went to the right person. He is the only one that could give life. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no salvation. Hey, if you're looking to get to heaven any other way than through Jesus Christ, you're going the wrong way. This young man, he came to Jesus the right way, with urgency, running. Came in the right position, kneeling. He came to the right person. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He went to the right person. Hey, you got a question about eternal life? You ask Jesus what he thinks, because he is the resurrection and the life. Came to the right person. He even came asking the right question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Hey, if you're going to ask Jesus one question, that would be it. What must I do to inherit eternal life? In Romans chapter number 2, look, hold your hand in, obviously, Mark chapter number 10. If you've turned, it's all right. Romans chapter number 2. There's this conflict in Romans 2. In verse 7, it says this, to them who be patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. There's a problem with that. There are some that through patience and well-doing, seek for eternal life. I'm sorry, but that's not how eternal life is granted. It is inherited. An inheritance has nothing to do with me. It has to do with somebody else. But this is how most people come to the Lord. There are two religions in this world. Say, I know, the devil's religion and God's. No. There are two religions in this world. One that will make you work for it. And the other, a gift of grace. Now there's a lot of teachers that will tell you you have to earn salvation. They have basilicas and temples, but there's only one. There's only one that says it is simply by grace, a gift through faith. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other religion of the world says you've got to keep this set of guidelines. You've got to keep these set of rules. You've got to be this good. A familiar or a normal thought these days in this place, in this town, in this area is, all right, here's how you get into heaven. If you do more good than bad, you can't do enough good to take away your bad. Jesus Christ is the only way. This young man came asking the right questions. What must I do to have eternal life? Maybe you're sitting here today asking that very same question. Hey, we've covered a lot in one verse. The man, he came to Jesus the right way. He came in the right position. He came to the right person. He came asking the right question. So far, he's doing everything right. Right question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, he's not the only one to ask that question. Paul asked the Lord Jesus Christ that one day on the road to Damascus. He said, Lord, what must I do? What do you want me to do? Hey, the Philippian jailer asked the similar question. What must I do to be saved? These are questions I think are worth paying attention to. I've only had one person ask me that exact question. What must I do to have eternal life? Like that, out of nowhere. We were down at the corner of Main and Clinton street preaching, and this guy just came out of nowhere. Not out of nowhere. I didn't see where he came. He came out of somewhere. Came up and he says, what do I need to do to have eternal life? What must I do to be saved? Man, out of nowhere. Easiest person to lead to the Lord. I don't know if he was just hearing it or what it was, or maybe he was quizzing me, I don't know. But when this comes, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Even his approach is right. As we continue the story, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Jesus goes on to say, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he asked him and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Okay, he has a problem with pride. Okay, he has a problem with justification. All right, he has a problem with lying. Said, I've done all of these things. And Jesus, beholding him, what are those next two words? Loved him. You know, sometimes ever get a little snarky with somebody? You know what I mean when I say snarky, Zeke? Just get a little sharp. You're having a conversation, all of a sudden it gets a little snarky, and you're like, you know what? I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm done. Yeah, stop, Cameron. Be nice. I was talking to Zeke. You know what? We're just not on the same page. I'm just going to walk away. Lest we each say something we shouldn't. No, Christ never had to worry about that. He comes and he says, what must I do to have inherit eternal life? And he says, well, why are you calling me good? You've kept all the commandments, or you know the commandments. And this young man says, I've done all that from my youth. And at this point, I wonder if Jesus thought, you know what? You're just not ready yet. But what does it say? He looked at him and loved him. He said unto him, all right, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And then thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Interesting that he referenced the cross. Mark chapter number 10. Christ isn't dead yet. Christ hasn't been crucified. Indicating what it's going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be some persecution, some difficulty. Hey, and he has made this request to many of before. He talked to Peter. He talked to John. He talked to Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he simply walks by without all the conversation and just says, come, follow me. And they left all and followed the Lord. Here, after a conversation, after an interaction, looking eye to eye with Jesus. He says, get rid of all your stuff and come to me. Say, is that what I need to do to have eternal life? Spiritually speaking, sure. Because I bet this young man thought that that was his ticket in. Oh, I'm good. I'm here to tell you, listen now. This is a hard thing. This is a hard pill to swallow. This is like a horse pill. Good people go to hell. Say, well, what do you mean? You can live a good life, but if your sins aren't forgiven, you're going to hell. That's just truth. This young man, as we read over it, I would say is a good man. Hey, maybe he does make great efforts to keep the commandments. Maybe he does rule well. Maybe he does handle his affairs well. What you and I would look at it and go, that's a good guy. That's a good young man. Got a good head on his shoulders. He's sharp. He takes care of things. He's responsible. But that doesn't get you eternal life. Maybe this young man looked at his own life and said, I'm good enough to get in. I've got, look at all my stuff, my treasures. Christ knew that there was something between him and this young man, and it was his stuff. He says, I want you to humble yourself and come follow me. Sad thing is that this young man, verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. See, following the Lord is a choice. He started off so well. He came to Jesus the right way, running, in the right position, kneeling, to the right person, God himself, asking the right question. But then when he got his answer, he went away sorrowful. It's not enough to be good. You need to be forgiven. He wanted to trust his, what we would say today, his portfolio. Look at my 401k. Look at how well I've done in this world. Of course God is going to let me in. No. No. He had great possessions. The Bible says he went away grieved. How about you this morning? Say, I'm in church. All right, you started right. I sang. That's good. Have my Bible. That's great. But are your sins forgiven? have you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Well, I'm good enough that you're not good enough to get in. Your righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags to Him. Say, Pastor, I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you this next question. Are you following Him? Or have the earthly gains come in between you and Him? I'd follow the Lord, but I got too much stuff. I got too many things. Sometimes we drive around town and we look at the big houses and the beautiful houses, and we look at it, and I know what we pay for our house, and I think, man, what do you got to do to financially support that? I wonder if that's a big burden. I wonder what you can't do because you have that. Hey, we're a blessed nation. I get it. And one of the curses of being a blessed nation are, listen now, our great possessions. I've been places in this world where they have zero possessions. And they have other things that they have to overcome. But that's not where we live. We have 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 cars in the driveway. We have weeks of vacation. We have, are those things keeping you from following the Lord? Say, well, that's not fair. We all have those things. And the disciples ask the very question. They say, well, what's going on with this? Disciples were astonished at His words, but Jesus answered again in verse 24 and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Hey, be careful that your hope, your answer to your life's problems isn't in your checkbook. Because you'd be just as guilty as this rich young man here. I can get out of anything. How much does it cost? Yeah, there's one thing money can't buy, though. That's eternal life. Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. There's some speculation as to what that means, the eye of the needle. Some said it was culture and going through a specific type of gate. Either way, the implication is it's next to impossible. I think a sewing needle, and I just think of a camel trying to fit through that sewing needle. It says, I have a needle, and I understand the cultural significance of that. And if that's the case, we would ask the next question. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And this is the key to the passage. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible. See, if you think that you could somehow get to God the Father without me, it's impossible. Your riches, your wealth, your status can't get you to Christ or get you to the Father. It's impossible, he says. For with men it is impossible, but with God, for with God, all things are possible. What did this rich young ruler need? He needed Christ. So I got my life together, my family, we're doing well, job, house, vacations. Yeah, but do you have Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Do you know for sure if you were to die today where you'd spend eternity? Say, I don't know that. Well, like this young man, hey, you're in the right place to get the answer to that. Hey, we're all sinners. The Bible says if you break the law in one spot, you're guilty of the whole entire thing. Hey, we're all sinners. We all need Jesus. That's why He died on the cross, to pay for your sin. He paid, listen, you got a debt so large that you'll never be able to get out of it. And Jesus says, I'll pay for it in full. Paid for, done. So how do I get that? You simply put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God, I know there is no other way to heaven but by you. Please forgive me of my sin. I want you to be my Savior. I trust you completely, totally. Thank you for saving me. Say, simple as that, simple as that. Believing it with all your heart. Maybe you're here today and said, I've said that prayer, but I'm having a hard time following. Why? Because I've got much possessions. Hey, if you're trying to gain earthly good and neglecting the things of God, Lord, help you. Let's all stand. No one looking around, no one, this is just between you, me, and the Lord. Say, why are you in on that? So I can pray for you. No one looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. Say, Pastor, will you please pray for me? I don't know for sure that if I were to die today, where I'd spend eternity. I would like to go to heaven, but I'm not sure. I'm not saved. Would you please pray for me? Can you just lift your hand up? I'll just pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Would you please pray for me? Right? Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your honesty. Thank you. In a moment, we're going to have something called an invitation. Say, what is it? Just like we did a little while ago. Inviting you to the altar. So why at the altar? Because that's where things got dealt with between man and God. I invite you to come. It's not the only place you can pray. You can pray anywhere. But in a church house, use the altar to make decisions for the Lord. It's a good place to leave some things. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I think possessions have come in between me and following the Lord Jesus Christ like I should. Will you just pray for me? Anybody like that here today? All right, hands. Appreciate the honesty. Say, Pastor, I should have gone forward earlier. I was embarrassed. I'm thankful for my salvation. In a moment, the music's going to play. I encourage you to use this altar to talk to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this time. I pray if someone here today that needs to make that decision to put their faith and trust in you, that they would do that completely, wholly, honestly, that they would humble themselves before you and call upon the only name that can save them, your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider this message here today? Maybe you'd like to come forward. Say, Pastor, I've had a hard time and with some possessions. I think I'm letting earthly things come in between me and the Lord. And that young man, he came the right way, running, urgency. Came in the right position, kneeling. Came to the right person, asking the right questions. But then when it was his turn to make the decision, he went away sorrowful. Again, the beauty and curse of the free will of man. Will you today choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll do it later. Don't put it off. Make that decision today.